got to do it once. So really, I still can find myself.
I don't need barbacoas extra.
Has everyone got a chance to see the barbacoas?
Yeah.
No spotters. More touch about parents. I thought we'd spend a little bit of time this morning learning a sugya that's very much relevant to Halacha Lemaisa, and particularly relevant to Halacha Lemaisa for those individuals who are traveling or live in different parts of the world. So let's say, for example, Yeshiva Bachim. So many of you are going to be in America for Yom Tov. Very often you have chametz that's left in your dorm rooms behind, but Yeshiva Shiva is a different story. There you have people who live in Israel traveling to America, people who live in America traveling to Israel. You live in a generation of travel. I always joke that that Rabbanim realized that Bizman Azeh, there were two shilas, that the Yom Tov shilas, so there are two shilas that are the most common shilas. So one of them is, where do you light nearest Chanukah if you're not in your own home? And number two is, how many days of Yom Tov do you keep if you're a better Tzvah Chutzlah, it's been Chutzlah and Yom. So both of those halachas are about a half a sif in Shulchan Aruch. There's not much nothing about it, because the olden days, you're born one place, you live day whole life, nobody moved, nobody traveled, that's it. Bizman Azeh, we're a generation of the go, so we have a lot of shilas. So this shilas wasn't a relevant shilas until pretty much our generation, the generation before, last 50 years or so, the shaila has become much more relevant. What is the halacha? If a person is in one place when Pesach comes and his chametz is in another place, and the issue of time zones, at what point does a person have to be concerned with chametz? Now, when we speak about being concerned with chametz, we're speaking primarily with the prohibitions of Yerovei and Motzei. There's two Yisurim Deraisa involved, the only chametz in Pesach. There's a third mitzvah, mitzvah aseh, a positive mitzvah of tashbisu, of actually removing one's chametz before Pesach, and Erev Pesach. And all of these things have to be taken care of before Pesach actually begins. They actually have to be taken care of before even Erev Pesach, in the sense of a Chatzos. Bina Torah, once it's Chatzos, once it's Erev Pesach, halfway through the day in Erev Pesach, if you still have Chametz, you have a very, very serious problem. And with the Rabbanon, you have to be concerned with this even a little bit before that. So we have to really know what time is Chatzos for you, or what time is the hour before Chatzos. If I'm here, my chametz is there, do we follow where I am, do we follow where my chametz is? That's really the question that we have to try to develop and hopefully try to deal with properly today. So before we can deal with the specifics of this question, whether you follow where the gavra is, where the person is, or whether you follow where the cheftz is, the object where the chametz is, so we have to really ask ourselves a more basic, fundamental question about Yisurim in general. You know, these two terms that I just threw out for the first time today, the term gavra and the term cheftza, an object, a person. So these are terms many people mistakenly think the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik made up these terms. People think these are brisk terms. Gavras and cheftzas. No one ever heard of gavras and cheftzas before Rav Chaim. So that's absurd. Anyone who ever learned Maseches Nedarim or the Beis and Beis realizes right away that Chazal also figured out these terms called gavras and cheftzas. The Gemara actually distinguishes between two fundamental types of Yisurim in the Torah that at first glance seem pretty close to one another, but are fundamentally different. That's the Isser of a Neder and the Isser of a Shavua. A Neder means, we give an example, a person doesn't want to eat bread. So he takes a Neder that the bread should be prohibited to him. That's called a Neder. A person can also refrain from eating bread by taking a Shavua, that he swears that he's not going to eat bread. What's the difference? At the end of the day, he can't eat the bread. If he eats the bread because he said the bread is also to him, or if he eats the bread because he said he's not going to eat the bread, the halacha is that min haTorah, he's prohibited to violate his words. Lo yachel dvaro. But nevertheless, the Gemara tells us quite clearly that that's a different halacha concept. There's a concept of a neder, when the cheftza, when the object is osur. There's a concept of a shvua, when the gavra, when the person cannot eat the bread. And there are real differences. Allah, we're not going to learn all the maseches and darim shvus right now. But suffice it to say, there are very real practical differences. Whether an isser is termed in terms of the object is osur, and therefore I can't eat it, or the person is osur, and therefore I can't eat it. So the question becomes, putting aside the darim and shvuas for a minute, what about other isurim in the Torah? Let's say, for example, the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to eat chazir. The Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat the nevela, an animal that wasn't shechted. So you can raise a lomda shechakira. What's the nature of that isur? Is the nature of the isur of eating treif food, is that an isur cheftza? that the food is osur. There's something spiritually poisonous, so to speak, with this food, and therefore the male, obviously I can't eat it, I can't partake of something which is intrinsically poisonous, which is bad for my neshama. That's an isachevtza. But he's saying, nah, it's not an isachevtza, it's an isagavra. The Torah said, you as a Jew shouldn't eat such and such thing, but the food itself, is there anything wrong with the chazir? The chazir is not an isachevtza, there's nothing intrinsically osur about it. You as a gavra are not permitted to partake of it. So that concept of yisuri gavra, yisuri chevtza, which appears explicitly in the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim, vis-a-vis Nedarim and Shavuos, doesn't appear in Chazal, at least explicitly, about Machalos Asuras, about Isur, about other prohibitions of the Torah. The Rishonim discuss it, but it doesn't appear explicitly in Chazal. What we want to do, really, is borrow that concept of Gavras and Chetzes, that Chazal appears only in the realm of the Dharma Shavuos. The Rishonim extend to Machalos Asuras, and we want to speak specifically about Chometz. What's the nature of the Isurim of Chametz? The Torah says, I'm not allowed to eat Chametz, I'm not allowed to benefit from Chametz, I'm not allowed to own Chametz, so many different things that are also between a Jew and Chametz and Pesach. Yesh lachkar, one could raise a chakir. What's the nature of these Isurim? Are these Isurim which emanate fundamentally from the Chefza, that the Chametz is also the Achilu of Ana, uve Kinyon, uve Bai Rabbi Matzeh. The Chametz is a Dover Asur. It's not more than all the chametz. I as a Jew can't own chametz. I as a Jew can't eat chametz. I as a Jew can't be nefesh from chametz. So again, it sounds like semantics. It sounds like just a fancy yeshivish way of saying the same thing. At the end of the day, I can't eat the chametz. At the end of the day, I can't own the chametz. But it makes all the difference in the world. Do we say that the iser begins? Does the iser noveya? Does the iser emanate from the chametz as an iser chevtza? Or does the iser emanate from the gavra as a person as an iser gavra? My nefkamina, our shayla. How do you pass in the Shaila? Oh, I'm in Eretz Israel, and my chametz is somewhere else. Oh, I'm in America, my chametz is in Eretz Israel. So what time in the clock does it matter? When does the Isra of Ayurava Yimotze kick in? What point do I have to remove this chametz? Do we follow chatzos of where the chametz is? Or do we follow chatzos where the gavra is? So the answer is Basha. It depends what the nature of the Isra is. If the nature of the Isra is fundamentally chavtza oriented, then the times, this manim, should follow the chavtza. If the Isra is primarily gavra oriented, then the times should follow the gavra. So at least we have the format of the Shia. Now we know where we want to go to. We want to be Mavar. We want to understand this idea. What exactly is the nature of the Isachametz? Without primary nafkamina, do you follow gavra and chavtza vis-a-vis what is kaveya? What is the timing for the Isra of owning chametz? So let's begin the sugya with, first in the Mar Makoros, a Gemara that appears in Maseches Pesachim, that this particular sugya is not even dealing primarily with owning chametz, it's dealing with the issur of eating chametz, but as we're going to see, it's going to shed light on our shaila as well. So comes the Gemara and tells us, Pesachim Dav Chafal from Abeis, Amar Chizkiya, Minayim the chametz bePesach she'asah b'hanoah. How do I know that not only am I not allowed to eat chametz, I'm not allowed to benefit from chametz as well? Shenema lo ye'ochel chametz. A special gzeres hakosov. Special posov. Lo ye'hebo heter achila. What's the special gzeres hakosov? So if you remember from Barsha's Bell, Bakaris will tell you that the correct way to pronounce that posov is lo ye'ochel chametz. It's not lo ye'ochel chametz. So Chizkiya understands that lo ye achel has the connotation, even hanoah, even things which are not outright achila, are also included in the prohibition of chametz. Says the Gemara, understanding Chizkiya, time of the kasav rachamana lo ye achel chametz. How lo kasav lo ye achel, if the Torah would not have written in this strange way of lo ye achel chametz, if the Torah would have just said lo sochu chametz, or lo yochel chametz, then I would have concluded, according to Chizkiya, that when the Torah says I'm not allowed to eat, that means I'm not allowed to eat. Why should you think that eating means anything else except eating? So according to Chizkiya, the word achila in the Torah means exactly what it sounds like. Take a piece of food and swallow it, that's called achila. When the Torah writes something in an out of the ordinary way, of lo ye achel, lo ye achel, comes the rabbis, even in Isra Hanoah. That's Chizkiya's understanding. So lamaisi, you're not allowed to be made from chametz, especially Zer Sekos. Says the Gemara, pliga the Rabbi Abbahu. Chizkiya's understanding of the words achila in the Torah disagree with Rabbi Abbahu, the young Rabbi Abbahu. Kamokam shenema lo yoichel, lo socha, lo sochlu, echad Isra achila, vechad Isra Hanoah b'mashma. Rabbi Abbahu understands that the word achila itself includes hanoah, not just because it's written in a strange way vis-a-vis chametz, but the very word achila itself always includes both achila and hanoah. How do I know that? So mashma achi parlocha kasi kadesh parlocha benevela. It's a special gezeira. We know this from another place in Chumash Tisanya. Well, sof lukol nevela geishem b'sherech nidan b'achol avochol enoch. The Torah says in Parshas Re'eh, you're not allowed to eat nevela. Nevela is an animal that died without shechita. So the Torah says you're not allowed to eat nevela. And then the Torah says, by the way, you're not allowed to eat nevela. What can you do with a nevela? You could sell it to a guy. I need the Torah to tell me I'm allowed to sell to a guy? Why would I tell you not allowed to sell to a guy? The Torah says, don't eat it. So I know, don't eat it. I'm not eating it. Sell to a guy. I'm not eating it. So why does the Torah have to bother the Torah to tell me what to do with my dead animals? So comes Rabbi Yaakov and says, the chiddush of the Torah is that if not for the fact that the Torah permits it explicitly to sell to a guy, the implication would have been, it would have been also to sell it to a guy. But it didn't say it's also, b'hana'a, it did. It says, well, so, onavela. So Rabbi Yaakov says, you see from here, we can derive from here that the word achila itself has a double meaning. Achila means achila, and achila means hana'a. Unless the Torah itself goes out of a way to be matarit, k'derach shepar l'cha b'nevela. So we have here a fundamental machlokes between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yaakov. Literally, it's machlokes in dictionaries, machlokes in taichu puzzle. According to Chizkiah, the word achil in the Torah does not mean hanah, unless there's some special pasuk to teach me that, like the chametz. According to Rabbi Yaakov, the word achil, echad esu achil v'echad esu hanah. Now you may be wondering, my nafkamina. At the end of the day, everybody agrees you're not allowed to be nehmeh from chametz. It's not a question. I mean, it's one time it says you're allowed. But we don't pass like that. Everybody in this sugya, the Pesachim of Chafal, holds that chametz is asa v'achil v'asmanah. My nafkamina, whether we derive it from Logi Ochel, there's the cause of Chizkiah, and we derive it from the general meaning of the word Achila. So the truth is that vis-a-vis Chametz, there's very, very little difference. There's very, very little practical difference. But it will become very important practically in other areas of Halacha, where the Torah says other Isurim that you're not allowed to eat. So what does it mean? When the Torah says don't eat, does that automatically mean don't eat and don't benefit? What does it mean? No, don't eat, but yes, benefit. So the Gemara in Pesachim, the first two blot of Maseches Pesachim, those will come into YU next year, so we get a little bit of an introduction to Pesachim. So Metzim will learn the second break of Pesachim hopefully next year. So these are going to be some of the first sugyas. So comes the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, if you skip down to the third of the Ramakamos, to the Gemara in Pesachim, Dachav Gimla Ben Aleph, the Gemara raises the question that there are other Yisurim in the Torah that have to be analyzed in light of the Machlaikis, in Chizkin Rabbi Yabal. Very Chodosh. So Chodosh. Chodosh means, the Torah tells us in Vashas Emor, that any new grain, this year's crop, is not permitted to be eaten until the Korban Omer is brought in the second day of Pesach, or there's no Korban Omer until the second day of Pesach itself comes. That's the Issa D'Oraisa called Chodosh. Now some of you are probably familiar with the fact that this is a very controversial prohibition, particularly in Chutz La'aretz. Whole machlokes, whether this Issa even applies in Chutz La'aretz in the first place, and even if it does apply in Chutz La'aretz, does it apply only to a Jewish crop, does it apply to a non-Jewish crop, and even if it does apply to a non-Jewish crop, nice and practically, you go into the store and you buy a box of cereal, is that this year's grain, is it last year's grain? A lot of shilas about chodesh and chutzot. So you're aware of the fact that many people are mocked in America what's called yashon. They don't take any chances and they insist that all the food, all the grain that they eat has to be from last year's grain. And many other people are mekel, if they rely on the poskim or mekel, that chodesh doesn't apply. Chutzot, it's a variety of other kulos. Again, there's a lot of lomdus, lemaisa, shilas in terms of the application of chodesh in America today, but the yisra for sure exists. There's an yisra in the books called chodesh. It's a poskim chodesh. So within this yisra chodesh, the Gemara makes the following observation. The Rachamana Omar Lecha Bekali B'char Melosof Ade Ade Etzamei Mazeh. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat new grain, but Utznan Kedzel L'Shachas Amachal Beima. You're permitted to feed the new grain to your animals. Happen to be, how are you allowed to feed it to your animal? Isn't that getting Hanoah? So let's analyze the Shaila. According to Chizkiah, says that Achila means only Achila, doesn't mean Hanoah. So it's not a Shaila. According to Chizkiah, only by Pesach, by Chometz, where it says Haloshen Lo Ye Ochel, only then do we include Hanoah. But the word achil itself doesn't mean hanah. So according to Chizkiah, it's obvious. Chodesh, it doesn't say lo yeh achel. It says lo so flu. So you're allowed to get hanah from Chodesh. But according to Rabbi Abahu, who says that the word achil means both achil and hanah, so how could the Mishnah say you're allowed to feed Chodesh to the animals? It doesn't make any sense. So Amar Rav Shemaya, Shani Hasav, the Amakwa, Kitzirchem, Kitzirchem, Shalachem Yehei. There's a special Xeris HaKosov that's Matir Chodesh Bahanah. Kitzirchem, Kitzirchem means the harvest belongs to you. Even though you can't eat it, you can still feed it to your animals. So in all the dust settles, Chodesh is also Bi'achila and also Bahanah. We understand the Bein Lefi Chizkiah, Bein Lefi Rabbi Yehuda. But let's not forget for a moment that according to Rabbi Yavoh, it's a gzeirus hakol. It's a chiddush haTorah. Not mashi yetsim in a klal. The chodesh is mutter bano. It should have been also bano, and it's mutter only because of a special pasuk of ketzirchem. However, the Yerushalmi, if you look at the bottom of the page, the Yerushalmi, the last amount comes on the first page, the Yerushalmi asks the exact same question as the Bavli, but gives a fundamentally different answer. Says the Yerushalmi, the Hoksiv, the Lechem, the Kali, the Chaim, the Losoch, the Netzem, the Yom Hazeh, sounds like the same question, named according to you, Rabbi Yavoh, that Achila means Achila and Hano'ah. So how do we understand why Chodesh is permitted by Hano'ah? Amravi Abba Mari Achmed Rabbi Yossi Shanya Hi Shakova Kosov Zman. So here the Yerushalmi gives a different answer. Yerushalmi says, you know why Chodesh is Mutter Bahana'ah? Chodesh is permitted Bahana'ah because Chodesh isn't subject to the rule of Rabbi Abbahu. When did Rabbi Abbahu say that Achila means Achila and Hana'ah? Those are Isurim which are also the old void. Those are Isurim like Nevela, like Chazia. Once it's also, it's going to remain also forever. Chodesh is unique. Chodesh, just because it's also today, it's going to be mutter tomorrow, it's going to be mutter next week. Anything that's Chodesh today, in 3 weeks from now, after the first day of Pesach, 2 weeks from now, after the second day of Pesach, it's going to be mutter. So that's what's called an Isser HaKavuolo Zman. Shan Yish HaKavah Kosu Zman. It's an Isser Zmani, it's a temporary Isser, and therefore it's not subject to Rabbi Abbo's halacha, that Achila means Achila and Hano. Atan Divrei Rishalmi. So Rabbi said, what we have now developing in front of us is a fundamental machlokes between the Ba'avi and the Rishami. What's the solution to the Chodesh dilemma? How come on the one hand we say Achila means Hano'ah also, but Chodesh somehow is the exception to the rule? According to the Ba'avli, it's exerce a kosa. Don't ask any kashas. That's what the Rebbe Shalom said. Kasha l'mais, you say the kashas for Pesach night. There's no kashas. It's exerce a kosa. But the Rishami says, don't exerce a kosa. The Rishami doesn't quote a pasuk. The Rishami quotes a svar. It's logical, says the Rishami. An Isser, which is a temporary Isser, is not subject to the rule of Echad Isser, Echad Isser, Echad Isser. Rabbi said, what's the machlaikis, the Ba'avi, the Rishami? What are they really arguing about? What's the root of the machlaikis between the Ba'avi and the Rishami? So comes the Or Sameach, and Utos Chavetz Matzah, and suggests a fascinating insight as to what's really behind the scenes of the Ba'avi and the Rishami. Comes the Or Sameach and says, you know, this rule of Rabbi Abbahu, whenever the Torah says you can't eat, so you can't be nehneh, I ask you, Rabbi said, does that sit well with you? Does that sound logical to you? Just because you can't eat it, why can't I be nehneh from it? The Torah says not to eat, so what is ma'inyan kanoi, it's a lachila, what's the connection? Why should that be conceptually true, according to Rabbi Abbahu? Says the Or Sameach, l'chora, this idea that we're equating achila to hanoah, not to achila, only makes sense if you understand that a davra asar is an issur chafetz. If something is intrinsically bad, it's poisonous, it's spiritually harmful, so then I understand that this object, you have to stay as far away from this object as possible. So not only do you have to stay away from it, not eating it, you can't even use it to shmir in your body. You can't even give it to your dogs. You can't even sell it to a boy. You can't do anything with it. Get it away from me. I don't want anything to do with it. It's also the achila, it's also the nuts. It's a chefza. It is a chefza creates not only an isra achila, it creates an isra hanoah as well. However, if you argue that the nature of a particular Isser is only an Isser Gavra, there's nothing wrong with this object. It's perfectly okay. Nothing's happening. All right. The non-Jews eat it. Nothing's happening there. There's nothing wrong with this object. The Torah gave a special mitzvah baruch, she'er v'ra'anu, gave us as Gavras, as Klal Yisrael, a special mitzvah. Don't eat this object. You as a Jew, don't eat this object. There's nothing wrong with the object. The object is fine. There's no isser on the object. You as a gavra are not permitted to partake in this object. So good, I'm not eating the object. The fact that I'm using the object to feed to my dogs, what does that have to do with me? I'm not eating the object. The fact that I'm using the object to smear my skin, I'm not eating the object. I'm not violating the isser gavra. There's nothing wrong with the object. Comes Yosef Samech and says, this idea that achila automatically equals hanoah, hanoah equals achila, it's a package deal, this only makes sense if you view the nature of the isser as an isser chefza, where the isser emanates from the object. The isser is an isser gavra, so that equation doesn't make any sense logically.
Where's our smith?
There's my helpful chum to matzah, it's in the thing, I'll never say. So comes Yosef Samech, now goes one step further, says Yosef Samech, that's exactly what's going on in the Ba'avi and Rishali. What did Yerushalmi say? Yerushalmi, we'll start with Yerushalmi first. comes to Yerushalmi and says that how could it be that you're allowed to be Nene from Chadash? It doesn't make any sense. How are you allowed to be Nene from Chadash? What's the difference in Chadash? Another reserve in the Torah answers Yerushalmi, Shani Yishakova Kososman. What does that mean? Translate what that means. That Chadash is a temporary Isser. Therefore what? Says the Yosemech, what that means, that's a code phrase. Shani Chadash Kosov Kovel Isman means, if it's only a temporary Isser, how could you call it an Isser Chefza? What's Shayach to call a temporary Isser an Isser Chefza? It's a... By very definition, it's an Isser Gavra. Chodesh is fundamentally different from the Velus and Treifus and Chazir and other Isurim because it's subject to time. Any Isser which is Kavul Ozman, says the Yosemech, is by definition considered to be an Isser Gavra, not an Isser Chavsa. And therefore, what follows? Rabbi Avol's cloth doesn't apply. And therefore, it's also be Achila, yes, but it's Mutter Bahana'ah. So when the Yerushalmi says, Shanya Hiya, Shakava, Kosovzman, what the Yerushalmi is really highlighting is that the Shanya Shakosovzman is not really the reason why Rabbi Avol doesn't apply. It's not what we say in the Yeshiva. It's not the Siba. It's not the reason why Chadash is Mutter Bahana'ah. It's the Raya. It's the proof from the fact that it's an Issa Shakosovzman. It's temporary. That shows that. A fundamentally different type of an Isser. That's the proof positive that it's not in the same type of an Isser as other Isserim. And since it's fundamentally different, it's an Isser that emanates from the person, therefore the Isser HaNoah doesn't apply. That's Pshat and Yerushalmi. It's such a gewaltig alumnus in Yerushalmi. How come the Chabad Bavel didn't figure it out? How come the Gemara Pesachim didn't figure it out? How come the Gemara Pesachim had to go searching and looking for Xeris HaKosov? Sounds like if not for the Xeris HaKosov, so we would have equated Chabad with other Isserim. Says the Yosemech, the punchline is as follows. Says the Yosemech, the Bavli understood that just because something is temporary, asma. So therefore what? Why can't you have a temporary Yisachetza? It's an Yisachetza today, the Yisachetza will be gone tomorrow. So the Bavli didn't buy into this lumdus of Yushami. The Bavli didn't accept this ironclad equation of Yushami, that Isser Zmani is equals Isser Gavra. Now the Bachim in Yeshiva, now they make fun of me because now we have a new board in Yeshiva, we have a new classroom, and the new base matters. So we have this tremendous new board, so it's so much fun to use. So I actually use a blackboard. I haven't used a blackboard in a while. So I draw a lot of equations. If you'd walk into my Shia in Yeshiva, you think I was giving some high tech, highfalutin math course. A lot of equations. The equation is Isser Zmani equals Isser Chefza. According to the Yerushalmi, that's the Isser. That's it. That's equals MC squared. That's the fundamental set of the whole world. But Isser Zmani equals Isser Gavra. And the Bavli says, we put a line, diagonal line, inequality. It's not true. But Isser Zmani does not equal Isser Gavra. Isser Zmani equals Isser Chefza. You can have an Isser Zmani. It's Isser Chefza. It's not a contradiction, not a stereotype. So comes the Yosemite and says, now we understand beautifully the Bavli and the Rishalmi, why the Rishalmi solved Chodesh Alema with a Svara, and the Bavli refused to go the root of the Svara, because the Bavli fundamentally disagreed with that Nekud and the Rishalmi. The Bavli understood that, notwithstanding the fact that it's Nisazmani, it can still qualify as Nisachet. So if the Yosemite would have just stopped now, it's a beautiful, beautiful Lomdash of Shad explains, the Bavli Rishalmi thing is beautiful. Yosemite was one step further. He says, now I'm going to show you, says the Yosemite, that this Bavli and Yerushalmi are the Shittasa. This machleik is the Bavli and Yerushalmi about the nature of Yisurim Zmadim, highlighted by the Yisra Chadash, does not only appear in this particular context, but it can be understood, other sugyas in Bavli and Yerushalmi can be understood as well. So we have to look at the next page in the Maamar Kama, second page. The famous Tosfos Maseches Kedushin and Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. But Tosfos commenting on the Gemara in Kedushin quoted the Pesukim in Navi Yoshua described what the first Pesach was like in Eretz Yisrael when he entered into Eretz Yisrael. And the Pesukim say that they ate from the new grain, the Chadosh, on the day after the Gemara Pesach was brought, the day after the first day of Pesach. The implication being that they didn't eat any of the new grain on the first day of Pesach, like the Torah says, you're not allowed to. And the simple reading of the Pesukim is that they didn't eat matzah that year because they didn't have any grain. Well, they had mud, they didn't make matzah out of mud, so they didn't, and the month was over already, the month ended already, which was the month of Macharas. So, the Chora, they didn't eat matzah that first, you can imagine, the very first Pesach, they came to Eretz Yisrael, they offered Korban Pesach, that the Pesach says, now so is the Pesach, they made the Korban Pesach, but they didn't eat matzah, because they didn't have any grain, and all the grain that they had was treif, all the grain wasn't chametz, it was just treif, because it was chadosh. So, comes, tells us and quotes Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi makshe, Yerushalmi was bothered with the question, Lama ochel matzah mechadosh? why did they have to refrain from eating the new grain? They should have eaten matzah from the new grain. Why? The Abu Asay the Be'er of Tarchum Matzah, so you can also say the Chodosh. This Gemara, famous Gemara, the beginning of the sentence, Yavamas, Asay the Chodosh also say. When you have a clash between a positive mitzvah and a negative and a prohibition, so sometimes, not always, but sometimes we say that the Asay is Doch the Los Asay, that the fulfillment of the mitzvah Asay has the ability to override the Los Asay. The example, parts lines, is Sky of Mitzitzis. A person has a linen beged, at least in the Torah, a person has a linen beged, they have to put on wool and strings, it's the same as that to be wool. So how could they do that? They're going to tie on the wool and strings onto the linen beged, that's going to be shatness. The Torah says you do it. The Gemara learns out from the pasuk. You do it anyway. Aye, it's a misra of shatness, doesn't matter. Asay doch halosis. So comes the Rishami and he asks, let the asay of the Erev Tachum Matzahs override the doich and the los asay of Ibn Chadosh. So the Rishami says no. From Atari, it's the ain asay kadim adibur doch halos asay the achra adibur. So the Rishami says that asay doch halos asay only applies if the asay is on the same level as the los asay. The asay of the Erev Tachum Matzahs is on a slightly lower level than the isser of Chadosh, because the Erev Tachum Matzahs was given kodim matan Torah, was given a precious bow, that's called an asay kodim adibur. Chadosh was given post matan Torah. So the Rishami has an interesting idea that mitzvahs that were given to Klal Yisrael prior to matan Torah are not quite on par, you have to do many. And not quite on par with mitzvahs after matan Torah, and a chaps enough kamina ladina in terms of the sugi b'asei doch halos asei. So we probably don't accept this distinction of Rishami. The Gemara in Yavamas in the Bible seems to have the exact opposite is true. That it was given already kol matan Torah that shows the Roshom. It's such an important mitzvah. Roshom didn't want to wait till matan Torah. So that's already a question. We're not learning the sugi b'asei doch halos asei right now. Then comes Tosi and gives a different answer. It doesn't appear in the Rishami. Inam yesh lomar the gzeira kizay swishin not the gzeira shayin. Tosi says maybe minat Torah. You really could eat matzah shel chadash. Let's say a guy's in a desert island, and all he has is matzah shel chadash. So maybe he would say, "Asay doch halos asay." So why, in the days of Yeshua Menu, didn't they figure that out? So it comes to us and says they did figure it out, but they didn't want to do it. You know why? Because they were afraid. Kolzman that you're being yotzei the mitzvah be'erev doch l'matzos. So then asay doch halos asay. Finished the mitzvah. I already finished my kazayis. So now I'm munching on more matzah at the seder. So now I'm eating matzah shalom b'toras mitzvah. The mitzvah's over. I ate the kazayis already, and I'm violating the isur of chadash. So it's going to be very, very hard to tell people you have to eat exactly kazayis mitzvah. Not a drop less, not a drop more. If you eat a drop less, then you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. If you eat a crumb more, then you're a violation of the isur d'oraisa chadash. Can you imagine? Imagine the scene in the days of Yeshua Benu. Many are sitting in Yericho, and the pasuk leaves the following psalm. Everyone has to eat exactly a kazayis, not a drop more, not a drop less. So they send out special cards to everybody from all the yeshivas. So usually people put the matzah on the cards and more the merrier. No, here forget. You have to make sure it exactly fits on the box. If it's one drop more, you're in violation of the Isur D'oraisa. So you can imagine the scene in Yericho. So you have the Chazanishnikas saying, well, kazayis is this. And the Chaim Noah saying, kazayis is this. You can't. So it comes to us and it says, Yeshua Ben Nun said, listen, we can't deal with this. Kazayra kazayis, Rishon of Zeshe, don't, you can't eat kazayis. If you're going to eat, if you're going to let kazayis or eat the first kazayis, it's going to lead to eating more than a kazayis. That's going to be an Isur D'oraisa. So interesting terrors that Tosis gives. So everyone pimples with this Tosis. Is it right? Is it not right? If you really ate the first kazayis, maybe the second kazayis is still a mitzvah, but a rambam, a pimple. Good, we're not learning the sugya of the kazayis, which is a shame, we're not learning the bomb stuff off. Suffice it to say, Rishami was bothered with the question that in Karon, in theory, we should have said, Asay doch halos asay, and Rishami gave one answer, Tosis gave another answer. Everyone's trying to solve this dilemma, this puzzle as to what happened in the first Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. Again, we're trying to go back to read in the history of 3,500 years ago. We don't know. We're not sure. Why didn't they eat? Why did the Pesukim say in Yeshua that they didn't eat matzah the first night? What happened to Asay doch halos asay? Said Rishami, one answer, Tosis gave another answer. Fine. Very good. Look at the Bavli, I challenge you. We learn all Maseches Pesachim. If you have nothing to do, Ben Hazman is starting today, so you have nothing to do for the next 2 weeks, so you can sit and learn all Maseches Pesachim. Take 121 plan at the end. I think Rashi would be more than happy to come back with him and Bechine after all the Maseches Pesachim. And I'm not going to say you don't have to do it. Of course you have to do it. But I'll tell you a secret. You can learn all of Maseches Pesachim, and you'll never find this question in the Bavli. For that matter, you can learn Maseches Kedushin. You won't find the question in the Bavli. You can learn all Maseches Yivam. You can learn all Shas. The Brachas Deneva, you will never find the question that Rishami poses as to what happened to Asay Doch Halos Asay. Which is somewhat startling, somewhat strange. It's a good question. I mean, if you just read Pesukim, you read Navi. But even if you don't learn that much Navi, it's still Haftarah for the first day of Pesach. So everybody knows these Pesukim. You just read the Pesukim and Navi Haftarah. It's a polite question. It's a pleasant question. It means, what happened to Asay Doch Halos Asay? Look throughout God's Bavli, no remez, no problem. Nobody in Bavli thought of this question. So what happened? So come to Arsameach and is bothered with this problem. How come the Yerushalmi made such a tumult about it with the Taisis, with the Kashim, with the Terutz, each Terutz has a shtickle Terutz to it, and the Baal is silent about it. who comes to us in Mechel, says, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you the secret. Why this question, Dafka bothered the Amorim in Eretz Yisrael, and it didn't bother the Amorim in Gotham. Says the Yosemeach, with a little bit of introduction to Asei Dochel Osasei. Says the Yosemeach, Asei Dochel Osasei only makes sense when both the Asei and the Losasei are in the same realm of Halacha. That means, either if you have an Asei that's on the Gavra and a Losasei on the Gavra, so an Asei can be Dochel Osasei. Or if you have an Asei and a Cheftz, it's a Tzitzis. So that's in a sense an Asei and a Cheftz, the Begad has the Tzitzis put on it, and the Losasei of Shatnitz, the Pilpul about it, the Gavra Cheftz, but it's in the same league, it's in the same basic work in the same world. So an Asei of a Gavra can be Dochel and a Losasei of a Gavra. Or an Asei of a Cheftz can be Dochel and a Losasei of a Cheftz. One thing you can't do, says Yosef, you can't switch teams. You can't have an asay. I can't be yetzi my mitzvah at the expense of the chetza. It's like there's a phrase in here. You can't be frum if you're in cheshbon. Is you're going to do a mitzvah with your gavra with a chetza that's a chetza shel psul, with a chetza that's a chetza shel iser? That doesn't work, says the Yosemach. The whole klal of asay dech losa is only when both the asay and losa say are in the same realm. So says the Yosemach. Now let's analyze the application, the theoretical application of this principle called Asei Dochel Losasei vis-a-vis Chadash and Matzah. So imagine the Shaila comes to you. Rabbi, I only have one Kazayis of Matzah, and all it is Chadash. Can I be Yotze Matzah at the expense of violating Chadash? So comes Yosef and says, depends. What's the nature of the mitzvah of Matzah? Is the mitzvah of Matzah a mitzvah on the Gavra? Or is the mitzvah of Matzah a mitzvah on the Chefza? I'll ask you, Allah Nishi Yeshivish Chakira. What's the nature of the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah? Is the nature of the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, you as a Gavra have to eat a Kazayis Matzah, the mitzvah will tell us our Gavra, is that the Pshat? Or the mitzvah of Matzah is that all Matzah in the world really has to be eaten. The Cheftza has to be eaten, and Nebuch, you as a Gavra have to volunteer to eat the Matzah. So hopefully everyone will realize that Chakir is more Shaykh to Chakir other than it is to Chakir Bisos. A Purim Torah. Of course it's a mitzvah of the Gavra. So what? The Cheftza has to be eaten. It's like Zonis, it's not even the Cheftza to be eaten. There's a similar Chakir, a real Chakir about Achilas Kutchim, famous Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi says when it comes to Achilas Karbonos, so then maybe you can argue that it's not that you have to eat the carbon. The carbon has kedusha to it. It's ton achila. So that we can understand. That would be the kabbal. There's no kedusha to matzah. There's no big deal. If you have to pesach, you have three matzahs left. You throw them in the garbage. You eat them for pesach sheni. There's no interest. There's no one's bechuv to run around the world collecting all the matzah and eating up all the matzah. Karbon is he has such a smart, but not big matzah. So the mitzvah of his matzah is clearly a mitzvah of the kabbal. Can a mitzvah of matzah be deicha chadosh? That's a question. Says the Yosemech, it depends. It depends what chadosh is all about. If chadosh is a mitzvah sagavra, all sorts of losasei on the gavra, then we can discuss the shaila. Then we can have an intelligent discussion. Can the mitzvah sasei on the gavra of matzah be docha the losasei of chadosh? Maybe the answer is yes, maybe the answer is no. But you can begin to discuss the question, which is exactly what the Yerushalmi does. The Yerushalmi in the Shittaso raises the question. Argues the Yosemech, the Yerushalmi only raised the question in the Maseches Kedushin because the Yerushalmi remembered what it said in Maseches Pesachim. The Yerushalmi had this chiddush that Chadosh is an Isser Gavra because it's an Isser Zmani, it's a temporary Isser. So because the Yerushalmi understood that temporary Isserim are by definition Isser Gavra, therefore the Yerushalmi was willing to discuss potentially the possibility of the Aseya of Matzah being done for the Losei Aseya of the Gavra of the Chadosh. You know why the Babli was silent on the question? The Babli didn't even raise the issue. You know why? Because it's an absurd question, according to the Babli. What do you mean the assay of matzah to be done plus the assay of chadash? It's apples and oranges. The matzah is in the gavra. The chadash is in the chefza. The Babli is l'shitosai in Maseches Pesachim. That just because it's temporary does not necessarily mean that it's an isser gavra. It could be an isser chefza and still be temporary. So comes the Babli and doesn't present the question. Because according to the Babli, it's not. The question doesn't get up to the ground. You don't even get up into the batter's box according to the Babli. What's the shaykh to discuss? The question, I'm a gavra, you're a chefza. I can't say I say double losses. So this machlekes with the Yosemech just made was a double machlekes. He took a machlekes to Babli and Yerushalmi and Maseches Pesachim, what the answer to the Chadosh Dilemma is, and he now connected it to the machlekes to Babli and Yerushalmi, namely the Yerushalmi that was bothered with the question, the Babli that wasn't bothered with the question, but he all one big shtickle Torah. So Gavra Chefetz, it all revolves around the one equation that should have been on the board, the equation of the inequality, called Issus Mani equals Issa Gavra equals Issa Chefetz. What's the answer? According to the Babli, the answer is it's an Issa Chefetz, according to Yerushalmi, it's an Issa Gavra. Is there anything of this Gavra Chefetz Issa Zmani that's relevant for us? Because after all, we usually follow the Babli. So according to us, according to the Babli puts it together, it sounds like notwithstanding the fact that it's temporary, it's still considered to be an Isser Fetzer, but there may be something, even in the Bavli, possibly, that may be reminiscent of this Yerushalmi, this idea of the Yosemech. A sugya in Maseches Gidin, Adav Zayinim and Aleph, the Gemara tells us, Am Rabbi Yavo, it's interesting, Rabbi Yavo also appears here, Ma'olam al-Yadol Adam Emi Yaseir B'Sav Beso, a person shouldn't, should be very careful in his home, he shouldn't scream at his wife, he shouldn't scream at his kids too much, he shouldn't make everybody so afraid of him, because he's going to have to be a terror in his house, it's going to be very bad. It's going to be very bad for many reasons, but one of the reasons that the Gemara says, Asherei Adam Gadol, Hitul Emi Yaseir B'Sav Beso, V'Chilud Adam Gadol. Once there was a Choshmer person, V'Chanina Ben Gamliel, one of the Tanayim, who was, people were very, very afraid of him. People were very nervous about him. So it almost led to a tremendous aveira. What was a tremendous aveira? That they knew Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel was coming home, and they needed meat to serve for supper. And apparently, they didn't have any meat. There was no meat that was shechted. And they knew, well, Kabbalti's coming home. He's gonna, and if he doesn't get his supper on time, he's going to be upset. So you know what they did? They ran to the barn, and they yanked off a piece of a chai off the animal. And I guess they barbecued it up quickly. No time to shecht. They barbecued quickly, and they presented him this food to eat. So Kabbalti ate even minachai. He said, even Ben Noach can eat even chai. So he ate even minachai. Why? Because they were so nervous. They were a bit more. Relax, laid back, so supper's not on time, what's the big deal? We want a pizza, you know, big deal. So if you're more laid back, so then it never would have happened. So the Gemara says, wait a second, hold on. It says, Hechiluz al gadai, did that really happen? Mamish the heilig and tiny Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel ate even in a chai, how you talk, hey? Hash to behemtin shal tzadikim in a kadosh baruch, maybe to call yodim to the gnat, well, call shugay. The Gemara says, Chulun tells a story about the donkey where Pinchas ben Yoyer. There was once traveling somewhere, they wanted to feed the donkey tray for food, and the donkey refused to eat because it was such a old, such a tzaddik of Pinchas ben Yoyer. What? The Trumas of Mice, the devil. They didn't want to eat the nine kosher food, the Trumas of Mice weren't taken off of, so the donkey wouldn't eat it. So the Gemara says, Kavachom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects even the donkey of a tzaddik, Kavachom, the tzaddik himself. How you talking, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel is going to eat treifas? Says, right, it didn't really happen. It almost happened. They put it down the table, and then he realized something's fishy. He was saved. But the Gemara says that in theory there's a principle of Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takol Adei Tzadikim. We have someone who's really true tzaddik, so Kadosh Baruch Hu will protect him, that he won't end up by letting these Yisurim or be a Bishogim. I don't think you should test the Rebbe Shlomo. We don't know who exactly qualifies as such a tzaddik to be assured of that, special protection. But if you are such a person, so then you can be rest assured that Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takol Ayod. So it comes Taisvus in Maseches Gittin, Abzayim, and Alfie, go down a little bit. Goes with Mashiach Leshjes, we spoke about this a little bit in Yeshiva, right? So comes Rabbi Yirmiyah, comes to us and says, wait a second, the Rosh Hashanah always watches over the Hilgit Tzadikim, they never violate any surah Shagay. Taisa starts rattling off cases where they do. Rabbi Yirmiyah Barabbah, the Ishtali B'Torim Karim Avdallah. Once Rabbi Yirmiyah Barabbah, by mistake, he ate before Avdallah. So you know, he ate before Avdallah. Once he forgot that he had made Avdallah, he ate before Avdallah. So Avagad Yom HaHostam, he saw some Asker, the Gemara says, yeah, the person will be punished very severely, made it eat before Avdallah. So you see that it's an Avera. Over Rosh Hashanah, Bosim Tavshila de Bavloi, but some Arab de Ma'arava. So the Gemara tells a very, very strange story. We spent a lot of time last year, but it's getting talking about this thesis, that the Gemara tells a story in the second Rosh Hashanah that one year they declared Rosh Chodesh Tishrei to be a day later than usual. Usually Elul only has 29 days, very, very rarely. Our calendar never has 30 days. These are the olden days, the Gemara says, it almost never had more than 29 days. And one year, Taka did have more than 29 days. It had 30 days in Elul. So the problem was that all the people who lived in Chutzlov, it was far away, didn't know that. So what's the problem? Keep Yom Tovsheni anyway. What's the big deal? Yom Kippur, Yom Tovsheni. Yom Kippur is the only Yom Tov that everybody keeps only Yom Tov Rishon, because we assume that the overwhelming odds are there are only 29 days in Elul. So even though we're Machmer for Sukkot, Tzeres, but for Yom Kippur, it's too difficult to be Machmer. And therefore, the Chazal let us follow the Dibdei Raisa. We follow that the odds are it's probably Rosh Hashanah was the after 29 days of Elul, and Yom Kippur, we have the right day. But one year they goofed. One year in Bavel, they were observing Yom Kippur, and they didn't realize that they were the day off. And then Levi, who had come from Eretz Yisrael, happens to walk into Bavel and comes into Shul on the day that he thought was about to be Yom Kippur, and they thought was already about to be Motzei Yom Kippur. So you can imagine, Levi walks into Shul with his kittel, ready to start Kol Nidre, and they're finishing up the Ilah. So he says, wait a second, what happened over here? They got it wrong. I got it right, because he came from Eretz Yisrael, he had the right information. So now what happened? So as soon as it got dark, so everyone's going home and eating. It's Motzei Yom Kippur. Motzei Yom Kippur. Levi's saying, he's saying Slichas now. He's davening Maariv for Yom Kippur now. That's Yom Kippur. he's right. Yom Kippur just started. So Levi says, he said a little bit cynically, he says, "Kama bosim tafshila de bavloi b'yamat samarav demarom." He says, how delicious smelling is the yummy, yummy food that the Babylonians are eating on Yom Kippur of the people in the West. Namely, they got it wrong. It's Yom Kippur today, they're all enjoying their meal, but it's Yom Kippur, so they got a problem. Anyway, so we're not learning the sugya now, Rosh Hashanah. Was Levi right? Was Levi wrong? Was it really Yom Kippur? Was it not really Yom Kippur? If she tells some, a temafil shogin, if the mizidim that applied to Beis and Chutzlart, it's a lot of longness in that sugya Rosh Hashanah, but not for now. We want to focus on one of the Tosfos understood that the simple reading of the Gemara is that all the people who lived in Bavel were violating the Yisra of eating on Yom Kippur. Now, there weren't just nobodies who were living in Bavel. Some of the contemporaries of Levi, some pretty big names, I think Rav, Shmuel, some pretty chashar people who lived in Bavel at the time. So all the Haile Gitzadikim ate on Yom Kippur that year. That's what it says in the Gemara. They get the simple reading of the Gemara, that they all ate on Yom Kippur that year was B'shagay. They didn't know, they made a mistake, they didn't know what was going on. So he tells us, how did the Rebbe Shalom let such a thing happen? Ain't a Kaddish Baruch Hu, maybe Takala De Tzadikim. So it's an interesting Musa Shalom. How can the Gemara say that Rebbe Shalom watches over the tzaddikim? It's not true. If you ever Abba's eating before Avdallah, the Halakha tzaddikim, Rabbi Shmuel eating on Yom Kippur, how can it be? Answer: Taisus, no, not a problem. Ein davar meguna kol kach achila shel hateir. Comes Taisus and says the Gemara never says the Rebbe Shalom protects the person from all yisurim. The Gemara only says that the Rebbe Shalom protects the person from achalos asuros, from eating treifa food. Says Taisus, food on Yom Kippur is not treif. Eating before Abdullah, the food's not treif. It's an achila shel heter. The food is butter. B'shasa iser. B'zman, when it's also to eat. So therefore, that special avdach of the Rebbe Shalom, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe the Chol HaDeit Tzadikim, doesn't apply to food that's technically mutter, albeit at a time when it's prohibited to eat. Ad kan dibur tosfos. So you can take this tosfos and say, this is a hashkafa tosfos, a machshava tosfos. Or you can take this tosfos and say, this is a brisket tosfos, this is a lomdish tosfos. That tosfos is eating, it's a lomdis in the Rebbe Shalom Tanhagas, that there's a difference the way the Klap is Shemayim, the world in Shemayim, the way the Rosh Hashanah watches over the Tzadikim, there's a difference between the Isra of eating on Yom Kippur and the Isra of eating Chazir. If I were to ask you, which is a more serious Isra? Eating on Yom Kippur Chaz? The answer is obvious. Yom Kippur is much more Chomer. Kippur is a Sekoris. Chazir is a lav. But that's not the focus over here. We're not talking about the Chumra as an Isra. We're not talking about the Onish, the punishment. What we're talking about is the nature, the essence of the Isra. Yom Kippur is not on par with Chazir. What's the difference? Chazir is, to quote our lingo, is an Isra Chavtza. Chazir, the food, the Chazir is also. How do we know the Chazir is also the Isra Chavtza? It's going to be also the Yom Kippur. Nothing can ever happen to this Chazir that's going to make it mutter. Yom Kippur, as Chomer as it is, as Isra Chorus oriented as it is, in a few hours, you're going to blow shelf, but say Yom Kippur, the food's going to become mutter. Easy come, easy go. So comes Tyson and says, when does the Rebbe Shalom protect the Tzaddik? That's Achilas Isra with the Chavtza Zosar. It's like the double you get into your kishkas, you get into your bones. The Chazal speak about the top of them as a lake, you get into your neshama. Chazir gets into your neshama. If you eat on Yom Kippur by mistake, whoops, sorry, bring a Korban Chatas, and showing you didn't have anger. It's a terrible thing. I'm not minimizing it, but it's not a tzechetza. Nothing contaminated you, so to speak. Eating on Yom Kippur doesn't contaminate your soul. It's a bad thing. You're not supposed to do it. Nobody should walk out and say, I thought Rabbi Soloski gave the sheer chloe into a shrine and said, you're not eating Yom Kippur. That's not exactly what I said. What I said was, is that it's a nisagav, it's not a tzechetza, which is basically what Tosis says. So, l'chora, what this Tosis is telling us is what the Or Sameach said, Vidasti Yushalmi. Tosfos is now reading into the Bavli. Tosfos is saying that Yisrael, that the Or Sameach committed to Yushalmi, Zoch, Yushalmi, in Kedushin, that Yisurei Zman are, by definition, Yisurei Davra. And according to the Or Sameach, the Bavli didn't buy into that Yisrael. It seems to be against Tosfos. Tosfos seems to be saying that even the Bavli accepts that idea. Again, how would all the other Rayas work out? How would Tosfos read the Gemara of Zoch, and Kedushin? Two questions, enough for now. But what seems, according to the Or Sameach to be in a Kudus of Machlekes Bavli Yushalmi, at least according to this Tyson Gittin, other days of Yushalmi give just like different answers, but at least according to this Tyson Gittin, it would appear that it's Shayach, it's Nitali Amer, it's possible to say, even with Asa Bavli, that Yisurei Zman may very well be Yisurei Davra, but Nafkaminas Latin. So now, this was all the introduction to the Shia. The introduction is going to be much longer than the Shia. The Shia itself is 2 minutes, but the introduction took a little bit of time. So we raised a Shia. We had a Shia Lamais, a guy sitting in his parents' house, sitting in Tinek, enjoying the Seder, and he's got Chometz here in Eretz Yisrael. Or a guy sitting in Eretz Yisrael, he's got Chometz in Tinek. So When does the Zman Isser come? When does the Zman Isser of Bayi Rav and Matzi apply? Now the Gemara says, at the bottom of the list of Rav Kovas, above of Beis and Psochim, the Gemara says that you have to make sure to do Bitul Chometz before the Chometz becomes Asr. Or you have to make sure to sell your Chometz before the Chometz becomes Asr. Once the Shas Isser comes, the Shas Isser for us means an hour before Chatzos with the Rabbanan. So you're talking around, now they changed the clock already in America, so Chatzos is going to be around 1 o'clock or so, give or take a few minutes by Pesach time. So once around 12 o'clock comes, you better have gotten rid of that chametz. You got to make sure there's no by Rabbi Matzah Shas, the Shpisa by Rabbi Matzah, Bita. Make sure Bitul Chometz was done, the Mechiris, everything has to have been done, finished, come out of by 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock whose time? 12 o'clock Eretz Yisrael time? 12 o'clock in the afternoon Eretz Yisrael time? 12 o'clock in the afternoon Tinek time? A big nafkamina. If you're in Tinek and you're selling chametz that you own in Torah Shraga, your chametz is sitting in your room in Torah Shraga, and you're doing the mechiras chametz in Tinek, and the rabbi is selling the chametz at 10 o'clock in the morning, I got bad news for you. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon in Eretz Yisrael. That chametz can't be sold anymore. It's too late. That chametz is also behana already. That chametz is violation of my Rabbi Motzi possibly. So if you hold that you follow where the chometz is, we're in big trouble. If you follow where the gavra is, then we're much less trouble. The other shayla, we flip around the other shayla. What if it's the end of Pesach, you're sitting in Tinek, it's Motzai Pesach, and the rabbi's buying back the chometz for you. So it's 9 o'clock at night, the rabbi's your shaliach, now he's buying back the chometz for you. What if he bought the chometz back for you, the chometz is sitting in Tinek for us, let's say. And he brought back the chametz. Wonderful, that's great. What if you're in California for Yontif? What if you own chametz in Tinek and you're in California for Yontif? So the rabbi's buying back chametz for you at 9 o'clock at night. It's 9 o'clock at night. It's after Pesach in Tinek. It's in Yedam Mincha still. You're still eating, you're still finishing lunch in California. So wait a second. What do you follow? Can I own chametz? I'm in California. Can I own chametz on Pesach, but it's not Pesach in New York, but it's still Pesach in California? What do? You follow the Gav, you follow the Chavtza. So the Shaila becomes, depending if you're traveling to the east, you're traveling to the west. If the Shaila is before Pesach, the Shaila is after Pesach. What do you do? It's the Shaila. What do you do with all these kinds of Shailas? What's the din? Goes back to that fundamental question. What does my Rabbi Matzi focus on? Is it a function of the Gav, or is it a function of the Chavtza? So what's the answer, Rabbi Say? According to the Yosemeach, Pashat Tzimachot 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 Tzimachot. According to the Yosemeach, it all depends on this basic Machot Tzimachot 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 according to the Yerushalmi, this is man mitis the Gavra. You follow the Gavra. According to the Bavli, this is man, is it a Chavtza? You follow the Chavtza? How would we pass it in Machlekes Bavli and Yerushalmi? We'd be forced to follow the Bavli. We always follow the Bavli. That's what Mishnas Yavetz, Jolt, in his Sefer, in Pesach, suggests. He quotes the Yosemech, and he says, simple man, Bavli, Yerushalmi, follow the Bavli and Shalmi. According to what we're saying, it's so simple. According to the Tosfos, we discovered Tosfos in Gittin of Zion. And even Tosfos is saying that that's a Bavli. They also buy into this idea of Shani Kosta Shekabolo's man. If you notice, all the Marmikomos that we've been quoting, none of them talk about Chametz per se. We have Osamech about Chodosh, we have a Tos about Idiyah and Kippur, but the common theme, the common denominator of all these Yisurim is that the Yisurim is man. So we're developing this whole fundamental Shaila, because this is man, and this is a Gav, and this is a Chetzin. Not so simple, not so poshut. So your voice said, how do we pass in Lamaisa? Maisa, Lamaisa, Lamaisa, the Shaila. It would appear that one has to be machmir, one should try to be machmir on both sides of this equation. Namely, if one is in Eretz Yisrael, or one's chametz is in Eretz Yisrael, one's further west, and one's chametz is further west, lechatchil at least, one should try to make sure that the chametz is sold lecholadeis. The chametz is out of your possession no matter what, when it's Eretz Yisrael time, when it's America time, wherever it is. What would that mean practically? That means, let's say, a boy is in Torah Shraga, and he's going to be in Tinek for Yom Tov, so he should do one of two things. Either he should do his Mechibas Chametz with a Rav here, in Eretz Yisrael, that would be, then you know for a fact that the Chametz is being sold, at least before this man of Eretz Yisrael, or, if you forgot to do that, you didn't have to do that, so then there are many Rabbanim in America who do what's called Mechira Yud Gimel. That means they do the Mechira the day before Erev Pesach, the technical reasons for people going away, rather scope right now, so you should make sure to find such a Rav. It's called Mechira Yud Gimel. I would do it for you, except I don't have my forms ready yet. So I'm not ready for mechutz. I made a big goof 10 years ago when I made my first forms. I printed out 5 million of my forms. So I had the blank. It said the English date. It said 2000, but I wrote 200, and then the last number would be a blank. So that was good until last year. This year is 2010. So I realized that I got to make up new forms. So according to this, I got to do tomorrow. Stop making my new mechutz chametz. You got to find either a rabbi who's going to sell you the chametz here for you here, or the rabbi's going to do a mechiria gimel, so that way at least you'll chop a ride. That at least the ikra did, the chametz will be sold before Pesach. Problem is, I bet you're going to ask me, but when the rabbi in Eretz Yisrael buys it back, so you got a very serious problem. The rabbi's buying it back from you
day before.
So it's mamash a day and a half before. It's not always an akron shabbat, it's a shisha Pesach. So you got a very, very serious problem. So what we do in America, I don't know what the Rabbanim here in Eretz Yisrael do, what the Rabbanim, at least what we do in Amechiris Chametz, is that very often we have the problem of that. I'm making, I'm buying Chametz back from the Intibek, and some of my Baal Batim in Chicago, some of my Baal Batim in California, if you have them. So it's still shkia, it's going to be a place for another 3 hours. So how can I buy back the Chametz for them? So what we do is as follows, we make a deal with the guy, explain to the guy that we're doing a Maisa Kenya now, we're actually doing the action of the Kenya now, but the Kenya should only be Chal. I don't know if you learn some sense of Kedushin, get there. So the kinyan liachas man, the chalosa kinyan should only be chal after 3 hours from now. The chalosa kinyan, so usually the phrase I do the mechiris chametz together, Rabbi Will, usually the lashon that he tells the guy is we're doing the ma'isa kinyan. I mean, he says it in English. We're doing the action of the transaction now, and the effect of the sale should take place an hour after sunset in each respective location, wherever, whatever, hour, 72 minutes, an hour, half an hour, whatever amount of tzitzik you're using, it should take place at such and such a time after shki, after tzitzik chavim in that particular place. So that way we circumvent that problem. You know, I don't know what the rabbanim are so do, but that's what at least some rabbanim in America do to avoid that problem. We once had a funny shiloh many years ago. There used to be a pizza store in Riverdale that was owned by a chassidish fellow. So he just bought it. It was the first year of Pesach. He's owning the chametz. So he came to Rabbi Will. The store was under the bottom of Riverdale. So he came to Rabbi Will that he should be a shaliach to sell chametz for him. So this chassid shabbat asked Rabbi Will only one question. He said, "Yes, Rabbi Will, when do you buy back the chametz on Matzah Yom Tov?" So Rabbi Will was thinking like a businessman. So he thought that the stomach guy wants to really stop baking right away, wants to stop the pizzas right away. So I will say to him, don't worry, I'm very mad for that. I'm not much buy that right away, right after my rib, the guy comes to my shul. Some people really have to start cooking bacon. I don't want to hold people up to the tzibur. So I'm not much to do with the mechira back, I'm not much right away, can be rest assured by an hour after the shkia, ready to come, it's ready to go back. So the guy's face turned white. So he said, no. He said, I can't buy back the chametz then. I'm still not being mincha then. Now if there's a shkia, we're still having tish now. I said, I don't want to be zeichen the chametz till nocher ben etam, till after this man in front. So I was with Rabbi Willard that year when we bought back the chametz from the goy, from Mr. Brown. So, you know, Mr. John Brown, the famous non-Jew, we've used him for about 30 years or so. So I remember Rabbi Willick said to Mr. Brown, like he says every year, you know, Mr. Brown, we're doing the kinyanim now, we're doing the transaction, the action now, and it should take effect in each place according to the place where they are, to all the people in many, many different kinds of time zones and whatever that, the different realms of worlds, whatever worlds, some time zones in California, some time zones in Monroe, whatever, whenever their time zones dictate to them that they're allowed to own the chametz, that's when the kinyan should be chal. So shabbos, that was it. That was the kinyan. So just to conclude, Billy, one different chizm is over us. We spent a lot of time talking about zman. So zman is of course important all the time, the whole year zman. But Pesach is the yontif that's more zman than any other yontif. Haraya, there's not one mitzvah about Pesach that doesn't involve zman. You have to eat the korban Pesach at the right time, you burn it at the right time, and you have to matzah, if you bake too long, it sits too long, it becomes chametz, and you have to know when to start the seder, when to end the seder. Everything is zman. I think last year I spoke about the zman of achilas korban Pesach, the zman of matzah. I said the same to Bechizuk last year. The Bechizuk always, the shir itself I try not to repeat. The Bechizuk you can always repeat, it's always important. So my eye, the zman is so critical on Pesach. Hachadish is Elochem, Hachadish Baruch Hu gave us the gift of Zman. He gave it to Bnei Chorin. He can't be an Eved and own Zman. An Eved is not in control of his time. What you don't own, you can't control. What you don't own, you can't be Makadish. If I don't own this animal, ain't other Makadish, don't share Shalom. Can't be Makadish, something that makes a mixture I don't own. If I don't own my own time, I can't make Rosh Chodesh. So Makadish is Rosh Zman, the celebration of Pesach, is the greatest celebration of Zman. Chim Yoseinu, it's the celebration of Zman. And therefore, because we now are Sholtim on Zman, we're now the Bailim, the owners of Zman, so now we can decide this is chometz, this is matz, depending on zman. This current base stuff is noser based on zman. This mitzvah is fulfilled because it stays chometz. It's not everything is zman. So this should be the model for us for the whole year. With bnei chora, not just the base of life, with bnei chora the whole year long. The secret of ben chora, the definition of ben chora, is someone who controls his man. That's why ein lecha ben chora mishal also b'torah. Talmud Torah is the mitzvah which is takes up more time than all the other mitzvahs combined in our life. It's the only mitzvah really that we have. Mamish 24/7, 365 days a year. We're always involved in Talmud Torah whenever we can. So a person wants to be a ben chorin. The sign that you're a ben chorin, the proof positive that you're a ben chorin, is if you save his man, if you salvage his man, you use his man properly. The person who wastes away his man shows he's not in control of his man. Time just flies by him. He's not in control of his man. He's the real slave. So the avod of Pesach, the avod is as you grow up to ben hazmanim. So the even this man of ben hazmanim is kaddish. This man, the more you kaddish, this man of ben hazmanim, that shows that ein lecha ben chorin from Mishnah Sukkot.